Right. From last time, I started looking at the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we looked at the fruit of the Spirit, and there were nine of them. And it's Galatians 5:22-23. It says, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So today we're going to concentrate on the first one, which is love. Let's talk about love. Now, love is a word that is used so often. But what is love? Where does love come from? Is it in the head? Is it from the heart? I've heard some people say, I knew I loved this person. It was a gut feeling. Is it from the gut? What is love? Where does it come from? We need to examine these things. There's love for so many different things. And a lot has been said about love. There's been songs about love. There's been Barry White. Who knows Barry White? He says, can't get enough of your love, baby. Barry White. Then comes Bob Marley. He says, one love. The Beatles said, all you need is love. But then when Tina Turner came, she said, what's love got to do with it? So it's all very confusing, this love. This crazy little thing called love. What's love? So, but thank God for the scriptures, because they point us to what true love really is. I'm going to have to rely on you at the back, guys. They point us to where what love really is. So, it says the fruit of the Spirit, that's like the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So love is actually one of those virtues of the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit working in us to produce this love. The Bible in John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. It also says in 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So the source of all love is God. Without God, there is no real true love. So every true love has to be anchored on God. There's some dictionary definitions of love. It says love is an intense feeling of deep affection, as mothers have or parents have to their children, babies. We've just witnessed a wonderful occasion of dedication, and we love children. and the parents love their children dearly. So that's a love. There's also love, which is a strong feeling of affection and attraction for someone. That is mostly between men and women. That's where I'm going to keep it. There's other people who will say other things, but I will stick to what God has designed. So this is when a woman and a man fall in love. That's the type of love. I can love my sport. I love my football. And I love a certain, the best team in the land, which is, they're not doing very well, Andy, are they? Yeah, that is Arsenal, that's my team. So I can say I love football. People have love for music. People have love for all sorts of things. We can love material things, possessions, such as money, cars, flash houses, and the likes. That's all love. But I think we were warned in one verse which says, the love for money is the root of what? All evil. So there are certain things that you love, which will get you into trouble, let's say. There's some synonyms there for love. So love is fondness, a tenderness, a warmness towards someone, an intimacy, an attachment, endearment, devotion, adoration, passion, desire. And that's all love. Okay, there are types of love that are mentioned in the Bible. In Greek, these words are in Greek. So there's four types of love. Eros is a Greek word for sensual romantic love. That's eros, where it's erotic between man and wife in holy matrimony. That's eros. Storge is the family love, the love you have for between parents and children and siblings, brothers and sisters. That's storge. Philia is another one. This is the love for fellow humans and the care, the respect, the compassion towards others. This is brotherly love that we're commanded to have in the church. That's philia, the brotherly love, the sisterly love that we have towards another. And we were commanded to love one another. Then there is another form of love, which is the higher love, the highest love. This is God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. Agape love is divine, perfect, unconditional, sacrificial, and pure. That's the love of God, the love that God has for us. Unconditional, in that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He had no reason to die for us. We had not done any good deed. We were totally separated from him, but in that state, unconditionally, he chose to love us. And that is the highest form of love. Other types of love, amen. Other types of love, philatuia, that's if I spelled it pronounced it correctly, that's self-love. When you love yourself, you're so pretty. You love yourself. Look at me. I'm so handsome. I love myself. So that kind of love, self-love. Pragma, an enduring love. It's a more thought-out love, more sort of from the mind. You've thought about it a little bit. Mania, obsessive love. Maniac. Ludus, playful love. You've heard about players or people who are in love just for the conquest, just for the buzz. That's another type of love. Now, there is what is called the law of first mention, which is when a certain principle or a word is written in the Bible, the first time it is mentioned, it carries a special meaning. So in that context, we want to see, can I ask you, where do you think in the Bible love was first mentioned? In what particular story? Yeah, you know, I thought it was when Adam saw Eve, but that's not it. I'll show you when I did my research. I saw it was in Genesis 22, verse 2. And it says, then God said, take your son, your only son who you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. That's the first time love was mentioned in the Bible. Nothing to do with Adam, nothing to do with Eve. But when God demanded a sacrifice from Abram. Now we know that the Old Testament is a shadow of the New. So really we can learn that this true love is a love that is sacrificial. Is a love where Abram is giving his only son whom he loves. Now if we go Genesis being a foreshadow, or the Old Testament being a shadow of the New, we find that in the New Testament, this reality is revealed. This is when God, in John 3, verse 16, it says, so God loved the world. He gave his only son. Abram was going to give his only son. The law first mentioned. And we see here that God is giving his only son. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And that is true love. If you're searching for love, right there, in that paragraph, in that verse, that's where true love begins. John 19, verse 17, it says, they took Jesus, therefore, and went out bearing his own cross to the place called Ophiscal. And when they went there and crucified him, that was the act of his love towards you and towards humanity. So that's true love. You didn't think that, did you? True love is sacrificial. You can't have love and say, I love my brother, I love my sister. Love is not love until you give it away. So God had a son that he loved. He gave him away for you and I. And that is true love. That's God's love, unconditional love, because we didn't deserve it. But he gave it to us anyway. This love, the higher love, is called the agape love. It says on 1 John 4, verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So you cannot say that you know God if you don't love, if you don't love your brother, if you don't love your fellow sister, if you don't love people. I will show you later on that this love goes beyond just family. It goes even to those that you don't really like. That's the love of God. So John 15 verse 18 says, greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's a greater love. It's a sacrificial love. Preferring the needs of others before yourself. That is true love. In Romans 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So again, we didn't have to do anything. In our broken state, in our sin, God loved us. Was there anything worth loving when he loved us? I would say no, not really. But he still loved us anyway, with an unconditional love. It says, this love is so vast, it's so transforming. It's so powerful. And it's eternal. It doesn't change. It says in Romans 8, verse 38 to 39, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So this love is enduring. There is a permanency to this love. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. That is the true love of God. But we are children of God, aren't we? And we ought to have the same characteristics or the same DNA with God. So this love actually is a commandment for us. That's the only commandment that God commands us. In 1 John 3, verse 23 says, and this is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, even as he's commanded us, a commandment to us. So this love is not an optional extra. This is the DNA of a Christian. To love your neighbor, to love your brother, to love your sister. For if you say you love God, and to hate your sister. The Bible says you're a liar. So this love has to be demonstrated to one another. This is how they will know that you're my disciples, when you love one another. Amen. And it says in Romans 13, verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the debt of love to one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Now, I want you to turn to the person that's next to you and say, you owe me something. Let it be appropriate, though. Let it be appropriate. Yes, you owe me love. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. You owe me love. And you owe me love. And I owe you love. And this is how we are known as Christians. When we start loving one another, when that DNA of love is in us, then we are truly Christians. Because the word of God says, when you love one another, this is the identity of a Christian, to love. Why? Because God is love. So we are the children of God. We are the hands of God, the arms of God, to show that love to this world. And that's what the work that the Holy Spirit is also doing in us, transforming us into those people that can love. It's not easy to love. Sometimes. Some of us are not very lovable. So it's not easy. It can be a struggle. But it is a commandment to love one another. So say to your neighbor, get over yourself. It's not about how you are feeling. It's not about what you think. But if you're a child of God, you need to love me. You owe me that debt of love. So I'm going to keep demanding that debt because it has to be settled. Now, let's look in the context of husband and wife. Even in the context of husband and wife, in Ephesians 5, verses 25, it says, husbands, love your wives. How do you love your wives? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is sacrificial love. So, to husbands out there, it's got to be a sacrificial love. It's not about looking at the faults. You're supposed to cover your wife. Her faults, you shouldn't count them. You shouldn't count the wrongs. So this love is sacrificial. It's not pointing out her weaknesses. Because Christ doesn't point our weaknesses, does he? Does he? Yeah. So if we're to love as husbands, our wives, as Christ loved the church, it means we have to do a lot of forgiving. We have to do a lot of forgiving. It's interesting that it doesn't say in the other verses that wives love your husbands. But it speaks of another thing concerning wives. It says wives honor your husbands. And I'm a relationship expert now. Because women need love. Men need honor. That's how they were created. So if you dishonor your husband, there might be trouble, because that's like a red flag for a husband when you dishonor him. It's not good. But for the husbands, love your wives. So that's the word of God there. So this is in the context of Christ. So every love is anchored on Christ. What he did, the sacrifices that he made, this is what shows us the true love. Now let's go to Matthew 5:43-45. And here is a puzzling thing that he said, that Jesus says. It says, you've heard that it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's reasonable, isn't it? Love your neighbor, yes. They're nice enough, I'll love them. But my enemies, I'm just going to hate. Because they're my enemies. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. He says, but. When there is a but, you must know that things are changing. But I tell you, love your enemies. How does that go with you? Can you love your enemies? Is it possible to love your enemies, the ones that you hate? And pray for those who persecute you. What about what they're doing to me? They've put me through hell. But I have to pray for them. How does that work? But this is a commandment. Because even when we were enemies of Christ, he loved us and he died for us. So we ought to be what? Followers of Christ. So this is a love that is radical. A love that is so different. And I believe this is the hope of the nations. When we start to love those that are a little bit different to us, when we start to love those that are not so lovable, then we are showing that we are the true children of God. And the word of God says the whole of creation is yearning with eager expectation to see the children of God revealed. Because when the children of God are revealed, they are radical, they have radical love, they love their enemies. And I think the Beatles were right. What the world needs is not love. So the world needs love. Let's see what this love is. Let's see what this love is. Some characteristics of love are in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. Is that you? Are you patient? Are you kind? It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. I've got to get my own way. I'm always right. it is not easily angered. Are you a bit snappy? Do you get a little bit angry? You need the love to work inside you. It keeps no record of wrongs. Oh, you wronged me in the year 2006. You wronged me. And I remember. No, that's not love. Because the God who we serve has got no record of our wrongs. So we stand before him as if we've not sinned at all. So love is the same. We are commanded to have that kind of love. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. So in every situation, it doesn't matter whether it's your bosses who are persecuting you at work, pray for them. Now this really is a work of the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it on our own. We can't have that kind of love on our own. But with the hope and the help of the Holy Spirit, we can love and show this world the love of Christ. Amen? Now let's look at the lessons for today. What can we learn from all this? We have to have that assurance that God loves us. We've read that not even the demons, not even the angels can separate you from that love. And that's a solid basis. We stand on a solid love. It's not love that shifts and changes. It's not love that is dependent on the superficial. I know, like, some will say, oh, I looked into his blue eyes and I fell in love. Then you discover there were contact lenses. What are you going to do then? I'm not even going to talk about the hair. Oh, she had lovely flowing hair. Oh, let me leave it at that. So this love is more enduring. It doesn't shift and change. It's the agape, the unconditional love of God. And it's a solid foundation. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us to produce that love. A love for your enemy is not a love that you can have on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to restrain you, to say, hang on, they might have wronged you, but you were forgiven much, and you need to forgive. We are commanded to love one another, so we should show this kind of love to one another. How do we show it? By caring for each other, by being sensitive to the needs of others. Show some acts of love. I'm glad that as a church we've started going out and showing some acts of love. With all the programs that happen, Pastor Joel at the moment is in Uganda, looking at the need that is there, so that as Christians we can show them love. We do gifts of love to children in Rukunjeri, showing those acts of love, visiting the sick. I heard the young adults are going to the dance to sing Christmas carols, showing those acts of love. Finally, we need to reach out to the sinners. To the sinner. We have to love the sinner. Don't love the sin, but love the sinner. Because we also were once lost, but it was love, His love, His unconditional love that brought us home. Amen.